Meditations, written by Marcus Aurelius, narrated by Daniel Natal, 2024, Natal Publishing. Introduction. Marcus Aurelius Antoninus was born on April 26, AD 121. His real name was M. Aeneas Verus, and he was sprung of a noble family which claimed descent from Numa, second king of Rome. Thus the most religious of emperors came of the blood of the most pious of early kings. His father, Aeneas Verus, had held high office in Rome, and his grandfather of the same name had been thrice consul. Both his parents died young, but Marcus held them in loving remembrance. On his father's death, Marcus was adopted by his grandfather, the consular Aeneas Verus, and there was deep love between these two. On the very first page of his book, Marcus gratefully declares how of his grandfather he had learned to be gentle and meek, and to refrain from all anger and passion. The Emperor Hadrian divined the fine character of the lad, whom he used to call not Verus, but Verissimus, more truthful than his own name. He advanced Marcus to equestrian rank when 6 years of age, and at the age of 8 made him a member of the ancient Salian priesthood. The boy's aunt, Aenea Galeria Faustina, was married to Antoninus Pius, afterwards emperor. Hence it came about that Antoninus, having no son, adopted Marcus, changing his name to that which he is known by, and betrothed him to his daughter Faustina. His education was conducted with all care. The ablest teachers were engaged for him, and he was trained in the strict doctrine of the Stoic philosophy, which was his great delight. He was taught to dress plainly and to live simply, to avoid all softness and luxury. His body was trained to hardihood by wrestling, hunting, and outdoor games. And though his constitution was weak, he showed great personal courage to encounter the fiercest boars. At the same time, he was kept from the extravagancies of his day. The great excitement in Rome was the strife of the factions, as they were called in the circus. The racing drivers used to adopt one of four colors, red, blue, white, or green, and their partisans showed an eagerness in supporting them which nothing could surpass. Riot and corruption went in the train of the racing chariots, and from all these things Marcus held severely aloof. In 140 Marcus was raised to the consulship, and in 145 his betrothal was consummated by marriage. 2 years later Faustina brought him a daughter, and soon after, the tribunate and other imperial honors were conferred upon him. Antoninus Pius died in 161, and Marcus assumed the imperial state. He had once associated himself with L. Sionius Commodus, whom Antoninus had adopted as a younger son at the same time with Marcus, giving him the name of Lucius Aurelius Verus. Henceforth, the two were colleagues in empire, the junior being trained, as it were, to succeed. No sooner was Marcus settled upon the throne than wars broke out on all sides. In the east, Vologesus III of Parthia began a long-meditated revolt by destroying a whole Roman legion and invading Syria, 162. Verus was sent off in hot haste to quell this rising, and he fulfilled his trust by plunging into drunkenness and debauchery, while the war was left to his officers. Soon after, Marcus had to face a more serious danger at home in the coalition of several powerful tribes on the northern frontier. Chief among those were the Macromanni, or Marchmen, the Quadi, mentioned in this book, the Sarmatians, the Cati, the Jazyges. In Rome itself there was pestilence and starvation, the one brought from the east by Verus's legions, the others caused by floods which had destroyed vast quantities of grain. After all had been done possible to allay famine and to supply pressing needs, Marcus being forced even to sell the imperial jewels to find money, both emperors set forth to a struggle which was to continue more or less during the rest of Marcus's reign. During these wars in 169, Verus died. We have no means of following the campaigns in detail, but thus much is certain, that in the end the Romans succeeded in crushing the barbarian tribes and effecting a settlement which made the empire more secure. Marcus was himself commander-in-chief, and victory was due no less to his own ability than to his wisdom and choice of lieutenants, shown conspicuously in the case of Pertinax. There were several important battles fought in these campaigns, and one of them has become celebrated for the legend of the Thundering Legion. In a battle against the Quadi in 174, the day seemed to be going in favor of the foe when on a sudden arose a great storm of thunder and rain. The lightning struck the barbarians with terror, and they turned to rout. In later days, this storm was said to have been sent in answer to the prayers of a legion which contained many Christians, and the name Thundering Legion should be given to it on this account. The title of Thundering Legion is known at an earlier date, so this part of the story cannot be true. But the aid of the storm is acknowledged by one of the scenes carved on Antonine's column at Rome, which commemorates these wars. The settlement made after these troubles might have been more satisfactory, but for an unexpected rising in the east. Avidius Cassius, an able captain who had won renown for the Parthian Wars, was at this time chief governor of the eastern provinces.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?